Good morning, everybody. My name is Jay Horrigan. Welcome to a special episode of A Minister, A Priest, and A Rabbi Walked Into a Radio Station. I am joined here today with Pandora Carlucci, who is always my co-host on this. How are you, Pandora?
I'm doing fine, Jay. A little sleepy, but doing fine. Yeah.
That's what we were just saying. Some of us were up until just a few hours ago. Our regular guests that are always here is Reverend Eric Cherry, Rabbi Tom Albert, and Reverend Kathy McAdams. How are you three doing?
Doing well.
Good.
Yeah, I could use a nap. It's only 11 o'clock. I could use a nap too.
I'm not afraid to let it out. I'm going to be napping fairly soon. We're very lucky to have with us today also to talk about the election. Steve Sherlock, Mr. Franklin Matters, is with us. How are you this morning, Steve?
Awake and ready to go. Well, because Franklin does matter, and this is great company to be with.
We were talking before we came on air. Steve had some statistics for us in terms of the number of people that came out to vote, total votes. The number, Steve, is just not people that showed up yesterday. Are they including all the early voting?
Yes, even the unofficial results that are shared, and of which I had the totals here, those per the town clerk that she shared yesterday, that included the early vote. And if you saw the PDF detailed document, there's effectively two columns for each precinct. One, the day of voting, so those who walked into the facility on November 3rd, and then those who either early voted by going into the high school or mail ballot or absentee ballot. So that was under the column called EV. And then each total by precinct, by race, et cetera, et cetera. So through the unofficial total yesterday was 19,797, which as a grand total is a good number. But then when I look at the percent of turnout, and while we've also recorded, and for people remembering clearly, the population has been growing over the years, the number of registered voters has been growing over the years. So I've always tended to look at the percent. And the percent, while it's high, it's 80%, or we're less than 86 in 2016, less than the 84 and 83 from the prior presidential comparative elections. So it's good. These are all still unofficial totals, so it may change, but I don't know if it's going to change that significant. It doesn't usually. So that's right. Where we start.
I think it's interesting for those people that went to the high school yesterday and voted. They did a great job. They had everything spread out. You were very comfortable. There was the social distancing that a lot of people were worried about. So kudos to the town for really doing a great job yesterday. Pandora, I'm sorry. I should have started with you, but as I said, I'm a little tired. Pandora, how are you doing today? What were your impressions? What have you found?
Well, I am doing fine. And I was one of the people who elected to vote by mail. And I returned my ballot in person. And actually, I handed it to one of the people at the drive-up window in the municipal building, which I thought was a very nice way to do it. I thought the town had so many ways to make it easy. We could have used the post office. We could have used that large white mailbox. But I drove up. The individual was right there. You know, we said hello. I got my I voted sticker. And they really made it a nice experience. So I thank the town to make it so welcoming and easy for all of us to find a pathway to exercise our vote.
That's awesome. That was one thing they had. I went around 6:30 and they had plenty of the I voted stickers. The last election, they ran out of them early. So that was great. Well, let's get to our main guests here. It's really their show. Pandora and I are just along for a ride. We'll start by saying hello. Tell us a little bit about yourselves because we may have some new listeners today. And we'll start with, of course, the legendary Reverend Kathy McAdams.
I don't know how legendary, but hi, it's good to be with you guys today. I'm Kathy McAdams. I'm the priest at St. John's Episcopal Church, and this is new for me to do a live radio show. My spouse asked me what I was going to say, and I said, "Well, I'm going to leave that up to the Holy Spirit." So I can say I'm really happy to see that the Community Preservation Act passed in Franklin. I'm really thrilled about that. I think it's going to be great for our community. So it seems to be one of the few election results that we can pretty much confirm at this point. So good to be here.
That's great. That's great. Next, let's go to Rabbi Tom. How are you today?
Shalom. That's Jewish for hi. I'm Tom Alpert. I'm the rabbi at Temple Etz Chaim here in Franklin. You know, it's amazing how well you can do on very little sleep if you put your mind to it. I'm well. It was a night that I wasn't quite expecting to play out the way it did, but it was interesting. I'm, you know, always inspired when I see people voting and spending huge amounts of time to do so, and feeling, you know, sort of guilty at my privilege of being able to just fill in that ballot and drop it in that white box that Pandora was talking about. It seemed, you know, so simple. And so I really am so in awe of those who recognize how vital their franchise is and the people who fought and died for this and that they made it a point to go and vote.
Yeah, I think that you saw a lot of them at the high school. We saw them on all the press coverage and everything. Some of the turnouts in some of the states are just, it's unbelievable. It also shows you how important people felt this election was and still is, as they're still counting ballots. Reverend Eric, how about yourself? Why don't you introduce yourself to the rest of the gang here?
Thanks, Jay. Great to be with everybody this morning. I'm Reverend Eric Cherry. I serve as the minister at First Universalist Church in Franklin. And I think where my mind is what didn't happen. There were so many concerns that were being raised for weeks and even months about, you know, the approaching disaster of an election during the pandemic and potentially violence and intimidation at polls. And at least so far, and I hope this remains the case, that seems to have been a non-story. Instead, what we've learned, I think, is that there are effective, reliable ways of voting during challenging times with integrity. I think we're learning right now that counting is a matter of integrity. And so I'm holding on to that and really feeling proud of Franklin and surrounding communities for going through this so very, very well.
Yeah, you did not see many reports of tremendous issues. You had some protests around, but nothing that seemed to get out of hand. For those of you who haven't heard our show before, we take kind of current events, whether it's local in Franklin or national, and look at them through the lens of our faith leaders in the community, just to get an idea and most importantly, a different approach that people may be able to take, or people give them a chance to think about things differently. We do it, believe it or not, in a civil manner. I've probably been yelled at a time or two, but that's just par for the course. We do it without yelling at each other, and we try to make it a welcoming atmosphere for everybody. So that being said, Pandora, I know we had some questions and stuff that the clergy had kind of put together for us to kind of get things going. Why don't you start out?
Okay, I will. And I'll just add to your explanation that we do record via Zoom. So all of us are in a separate individual location around the town of Franklin. but yet we can support one another and have this conversation online and share it with you. And that's really a privilege. The lens we're using today is faith, and we're looking at the election and where we are so far. And I think that Reverend Eric alluded to it when he mentioned the integrity of counting. We are still in the counting stage. And so I'm wondering, Reverend Eric, if you would like to continue from that and kind of share your perspective on the results of the election so far and kind of where we are as a community in this unknown stage of counting.
Yeah, it's a challenging space for all of us to be in. I guess what I would most want to say is that for me, elections like the one that we're going through right now are mostly about harm reduction for the most marginalized people in our community, from my perspective. That's what my faith calls us to be lifting up, is how our body politic supports the most marginalized, and that's what our religious communities, I believe, need to be focused on as well. I don't put a whole lot of hope in elections right now for actually being able to govern, to do the hard work that really needs to happen for the long-term progress of our society. Instead, for me, this election was about hoping to reduce the amount of harm for the most marginalized people in our communities. And I think there might be some positive news there. Tentatively hopeful, and we'll see, you know, what the rest of the day and the week holds.
I think that there is a lot going on, and it is not, it's unknown at this time, and we will see what the week holds. And you gave us a nice differentiation between an election and life as to how we see the results of the election govern our life. And I'm wondering, Rabbi Tom, if you would like to continue and on our first question of how we're going about it today.
So, you know, I think I'm a little more positive about the value of elections than my good friend, Reverend Eric. You can tell we're both politicians if I say my good friend. Yeah, seriously. I think there has got to be an interplay between our actions outside of the political sphere and our actions in it. Our actions in the electoral part of the political sphere and our actions in the non-electoral part of the political sphere, you know, demonstrations, petitions, all those sorts of things. They all kind of mesh together. And it is a long process. That is to say, it isn't just about, today is a kind of exemplar of what the process is. That is, it takes a really long time and progress is slow. And there are setbacks and there are steps forward, and we need to be in it for the long haul. And if this didn't remind us of that, I don't know what does. So don't have some fantasy about, ooh, great, we win, everything's happy. It doesn't work that way. If it had been a landslide in either direction, we should not get too high or too low. The next day, the sun will rise and we have a job to do.
Very interesting and thoughtful and much to think about. And you're right. I think we've all gone through some very difficult elections, either nationally or in our own towns over the decades. And you're right. The next morning, the sun rises, life goes on, there are changes, but for the most part, we still keep moving forward. We have to be aware, you know, as Reverend Eric has talked about, that he was looking at protecting harm to the most marginalized in our community. But we'd also, life keeps moving forward. Reverend Kathy, would you like to jump on into this conversation.
I agree with my right honorable friends. No, God is bigger than all of this. I just have to keep holding on to that, that it does not begin and end with our elections, our politics. God is still with us. God is still in charge. And we need to keep listening to that guidance and following where it leads us. We still work for justice. We still, work on behalf of the marginalized. And if our government is cooperative with that, it makes it easier, but it doesn't change the work that we're doing. So, yes, the sun still rises and God is still with us.
I like that. I think all of you have shown for our listening audience today, this is how, when we have these discussions, you use the lens of faith and illuminate a pathway that's true to faith, but yet we're walking in the world as we know it today. And also, because we are using the lens of faith, we have decided that after each question, we're going to intersperse a prayer reflection. And our reflection, the first one this morning, is a responsive prayer with regard to what it is that we know at this time. And it's going to be led by Rabbi Tom.
So when we were doing this, I pointed out that in our Jewish tradition, we're not so big on, a prayer that says something. We're big on texts that say something. So I'm going to do a Jewish version of this, which is to look at a text. And the text I'm picking comes from rabbinic collection of stories called Midrash. And in this particular one, the story is told of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva lived about 1900 years ago and was one of the greatest and most incisive sages, very thoughtful, very, a smart guy. Well, the story is that Akiva, until he was the age of 40, had not studied a thing. And 40 was late in that time, and, your career tended to be set. But he hadn't studied. And he thought, and one day he was in his hometown, and he noticed a rock, and that it had gotten hollowed. And he said, how did this rock get hollowed? And he remembered a line from the Bible that says water wears away stone. And he said, that's what happened. The water wore it away. And then he said, look, if the water can wear away this solid stone, then maybe it can do something with my stony head. And he went with his son, and they went to the kindergarten, basically. And he started learning the alphabet. The teacher taught him, the first letter and the second letter and so on. And he learned it and learned it. And then he eventually learned texts and commentaries and so on. And so what that has to do with this is, I'm just thinking, if I had been Akiva, I can't imagine I would have kept doing that. And yet he had the patience to put himself out there day after day after day. And I think of us, and we also desperately wanted an answer. We want to know right now, what's going to happen now? This is over. Let's make this be over. And it is, the election is about patience after the election is about patience. But let me just focus on the election for a minute. It's about patience. Calm yourself. Know that you have work to do. And have the courage of Akiva to be patient and stay out.
I'm being very patient right now. Normally, I would have jumped right in, but Rabbi Tom, thank you so much for that. That's just tremendous knowledge to be able to use and to be able to think about as we go forward. And as we do go forward, What do you folks see from the faith community, from your responsibilities, as to what we need to do as citizens, what we need to do from a faith perspective, because we know no matter what happens today, that this is not going to be over. It is, there will be legal challenges, everything. How do you folks suggest we look at things and deal with things going forward? Why don't we start with Reverend Eric?
Well, I'm just still feeling the power of Tom's reflection. And I just want to thank you for that, Rabbi, and trying to live into being Akiva-esque this week is really just fantastic faith advice. I want to agree with Rabbi Tom that I want the people in my congregation and in the religious community around Franklin to exercise some hope and some patience, and also to be ready to respond if interference begins to take place. Now, there will be, for example, this later today, a gathering to protect the results in Franklin. I will be there, and I look forward to seeing many people there. For me, this is about integrity from a place of peace and understanding, and I hope that many people will do the same. Keeping in mind that protecting the integrity of the election is really a matter of faith. And beyond that, you know, I want to ask my folks and all folks to know a couple of things. First of all, to know where our values are, what we stand for, and then to take a harder step, which is what I think has been lacking in recent decades, is to use an ethic to decide where compromise is possible. And that decision can never come from a place of privilege, but it still can be found. And so that's really a two-step process that I want to put out for us starting right now. Even before results are announced, let's get clear about what foundations we firmly stand on. And then again, using an ethic not based in privilege to get a sense of where compromise is possible and move from there.
Reverend Kathy.
Thank you. I want to make sure that we value the vote of each and every person, that we make sure that we allow time for all of those votes to be counted before anyone calls an election. And I think that there is a value of faith in that, and that each person is valued, and therefore their vote is valued. I also want to make sure that as we are working to protect our vote, as Eric said, that we can do it in a peaceful manner, that we can demonstrate and exercise our First Amendment rights, and that we continue, as we're doing that, to continue to respect each other as human beings, however we might differ on our positions. And I hope that whomever ends up holding the most power in our society can reach out to those who are powerless, and as Eric said, find compromise and find ways to bring everyone to the table and everyone into the conversation, so that those voices are valued.
Awesome. Awesome. Rabbi Tom.
Well, as we say in the clergy biz, amen, as to both those comments, I agree. The Hebrew term for Hebrew term for to count someone, like in a census, is se'u et rosh, which means to lift up their head. Okay? And the rabbi said what that meant was that you lifted up their head so you looked in their eyes. And that's what vote counting has got to be about. We have to count numbers. We also have to count each person's unique contribution, as Kathy and as Eric were saying in their own ways. We have to count each person's unique contribution. And then we have to learn that as we lift up various people, we're going to find things that we don't always agree with, that people, the positions people hold. But, the Bible also says what's required of you to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. So having the humility that says there are principles we have that we believe in and very strongly, and yet maybe there are ways to find some kind of common ground. It has been so lacking for the last few years. And it is my fervent hope that the new leaders of our country will try to find ways to be the leaders of all the people.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is huge, that it's just not, whether, I don't know what terms you want to use, their side or their party, whatever, they've got to come out and deal with everybody. There's so much divisiveness going on now. Eric, do you want to follow that up?
Well, I want to thank Rabbi Tom for pointing to that. I think it's really important, and it's the work of religion. This is well within the center of the work of religious communities. You know, our politics have taken on a strategy of vanquish the opposition, right? That victory is a zero-sum game. And one of the reasons why we've gotten there is because it's occasionally been effective. And when it is effective, it feels really, really good when you're on the winning side. But it's no way to design a progressive future, a future that that everyone can feel a part of. And religious communities can lead the way on helping people to see each other, to find each other, to remember how to love each other in the broadest sense of that word, in the real sense of that word, and to find a way to bring that into our politics. That's religious work. And so I'm right there with you, Rabbi Tom, that we need to be about that right now.
Reverend Eric, could you also perhaps address, in addition to going through an election that's going to run for a few days, we have people who are truly struggling with a pandemic. We are having an economic crisis with employment and people who are suffering food insecurity, housing insecurity, health services insecurity, and how do we help them get through these days and this time and not just become just overwhelmed by the situation?
You know, Pandora, that's in some ways, that is the more important question. And again, you know, what all three of us have been pointing to is that, you know, this election matters in a lot of ways, but it may or may not bring us to the brink of major change that will improve things for folks that are feeling that the kind of pain that you're identifying. My point of view is that that reminds us of focusing on local ministries and being present to the many ways that our community organizes support for folks who struggle in those various ways. You know, if there's one example of how governing has become impossible, it's that the most recent round of potential support for related to the coronavirus didn't happen. And, you know, there are countless other examples. That's just the one that stands out for me that should have happened from a faith perspective, that needed to happen. And the fact that it didn't is very concerning to me about this nature of our politics. But to stay with your question, you know, the Franklin Food Pantry is doing incredibly important work for food insecurity right now. All of you know that probably far better than I do. And our religious communities are well on board there. I would say for folks that are listening to the program today and for all of our religious leaders, let's find the organizations that are addressing the issues of concern and get right behind them. That's the local response that's going to make a difference while we're waiting for our national government to be able to do something that matters.
I think you bring up several great points, Reverend Eric. And I'd like to ask Steve Sherlock, Steve knows more about this town, I think, than anybody. Steve, you would know those organizations, how people might be able to help them. What do you find them doing in the current climate? And obviously, this election's going to upset a certain group of people. How do you see the town trying to help out, kind of smoothing things over?
Yeah, I think it can be overwhelming, as Pandora alluded to. I think coming back to the individual approach, what can I do? What can we together do is going to be key. And yes, the community, and again, the election, whatever the results turn out to be finally, the key piece is the real work happens after the results are determined, which I think has been mentioned before. So yeah, what can I do? What can we do? And there are a number of organizations, certainly the Food Pantry, of which is just announcing their capital campaign to build out their new facility. I'm fortunate to be helping them, so that announcement is coming out. But there's a number of other organizations within Franklin that are poised in various arenas to service our communities. So the Santa Foundation, the Random Smile, those are just a couple off the cuff. There's a bunch of those that are out there. There is need. So look in your area of comfort where you can help and then reach out. Because that key piece is going to be the piece that you can do. You don't get overwhelmed by everything else. Do a little thing. Find out somebody, find out something, and then start doing it. And in the doing, goodness happens.
Absolutely. Well said, Stephen. For those of you that want to keep up to date on a lot of this, Steve sends out a newsletter every day into your inbox, which is just tremendous. That's my go-to thing now. And it's, you can go to Franklin Matters and sign up for that. Reverend Kathy, as we go to move on to another topic, before we do, you wanted to give us some of your words of wisdom.
Yes, I was asked to reflect on waiting. And there are different kinds of waiting. There's the waiting where we simply endure something, and then there's the waiting with hopeful anticipation. And the first thing I went to was our season of Advent, where we're waiting for salvation, waiting for God to come among us, waiting for it's. It's a sense of pregnancy. So waiting for something wonderful to be born into our midst. And along with that faith and that hope can also be doubt. Doubt that what we're waiting for might not happen, or it might not be what we want it to be. But I thought I would offer the words of a famous Advent hymn. O come, Emmanuel, Emmanuel is God with us, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. So God is among us and with us, and we'll never leave.
Thank you, Reverend. Thank you, Reverend Kathy. I appreciate hearing that prayer, because you kind of are leading us into the third prompt for our discussion this morning. You mentioned a little bit about the uncertainty in life. And I think people are feeling uncertain. Some people feel powerless. Some people feel overwhelmed. And we look at each one of us in the Franklin community. And as we go through this very long election process and then into the post-election process, how can we be a good neighbor? How can we support the people that we interact with in a formal and informal way, just that we happen to meet them in the store, or we see them at a place of worship, or we see them when we're walking around the town common, trying to just relax and clear our heads? How can we use the lens of faith as good neighbors and support our neighbors? And Rabbi Tom, would you like to lead this discussion?
So when we talk about what faith teaches us, I think what faith teaches us is we're playing a long game. It is, God can make things happen in an instant, but that's not what we are about. Our job to serve God is to work through the complexities of the world. And so, you know, for everyone who we meet, we need to convey to them the sense that it's okay, we're going to get through this, and we're going to get through this by helping each other. So convey to the sense that don't get yourself in a lather. Not because there aren't good reasons to get in the lather, but there are always good reasons to get in the lather. And this is no more or less a good reason than all the others. It is a matter of trying to have a sense of calm and a belief that, and this is something faith gives you, that there's something bigger than our everyday struggles, and that we need to have a sense that bigger thing includes hope. There's always hope. So, you know, when we're seeing our friends and neighbors and they're all worried, just be the non-anxious presence. That's how we best imitate God. And if we can do that, and you know, if we can do that, I think we move pretty far along that we need to be going.
Thank you. Reverend Eric, would you like to continue?
Oh, mercy. You know, I sort of get my my marching orders during these radio programs. And thank you, Rabbi Tom. Indeed, may we all find the strength to be non-anxious and present in challenging times. It's a great reminder. So I want to lift up one very specific thing that I hope people all around town will do, and that's to gather together virtually for our Interfaith Thanksgiving service. This is an annual tradition that typically rotates from House of Worship to House of Worship, and it's always on the Sunday before Thanksgiving. This year, that's the 22nd of November, and it's at 7 o'clock, and it's happening on Zoom, and the link is posted on the Franklin Interfaith Council website, which I think is fic.org, And if you Google Franklin Interfaith Council, that'll take you where you need to go. That's a really terrific way to show up for each other, you know, beyond individualism, and to share in embracing a transcendent truth, which is that we have so much to return thanks for and to express gratitude for in all of our lives, even during very challenging COVID times. Let's find our gratitude again, and even better, let's find it together in interfaith relationship and worship. That's a gift that we can give to each other this year that I don't want to miss the chance to point out. And if you do, you'll also have an opportunity to support another way that our community supports people who are facing challenging times. We take a special offering to support the Fuel Assistance Fund for folks who live in Franklin. And that's a free will offering. It's something that people can make a choice to support during the service. And we hope that that many will, and that many will receive support this winter in their need. Beyond that, I've got sort of three more concrete suggestions and requests for people to be good neighbors during this post-election time, but really always. The first is to listen more and speak less. The second is to tone down the sarcasm and raise up the candor. And the third is to resist the temptation to minimize the worth and dignity of your neighbor. I think we can all do all three of those things better. And I think that if we do, then we're living into the spiritual requirement to love our neighbor.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Rabbi Tom, did you want to bring something into this conversation here?
Yes. The website is franklininterfaith.org. I've done my... Thank you.
Thank you,
Rabbi Tom. So everybody go to that website, franklininterfaith.org, find out about the Thanksgiving service and all kinds of other great stuff that we do beyond difference, beyond faith difference in our wonderful town.
Reverend Eric, it was funny to watch you speak. And as Pandora said, we're all on a Zoom call, so we're at our houses. All of a sudden, Reverend Eric brings up the website, and I see Rabbi Tom and myself go right to the computer trying to figure out what it is, and then holding up notes to each other so we don't interrupt. So Rabbi Tom, tremendous job. That's the highlight of the show so far.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Except the ballpoint doesn't show up. Sorry.
No. But we got a lot closer than we were a couple of minutes ago. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
And it shows how people can work together for the common good. So that's great. That's great. Is there anyone? Did we start? Now I'm really confused. Pandora, take over. I don't know what I'm doing.
Reverend Kathy, would you like to contribute to this? The discussion on being a good neighbor.
Yeah, I really appreciated Reverend Eric bringing up our interfaith service, because that is a way that our community can come together. And Rabbi Tom's reminder about humility, that quote from Isaiah. It's so hard to remember not to gloat when our candidate wins. We can feel relief, but I think we need to be checking in with our neighbors to see how they're doing at this anxious time, and to connect as human beings, even if we're on opposite sides of this political divide, to stop vilifying each other and try to find our commonality and find those ways that we can work together, whether it's through organizations like we've mentioned, or through the Interfaith Service or the Interfaith Council, or whatever. But we've got to come together we've got to come together, and it's not going to work if we, keep calling each other evil. And we're all children of God, so we need to remember that.
That's a good point, to kind of bring together what everyone has been sharing, that we are a community, that we can reach out, that we need to be aware. And if we're on the side whose candidate or issue is the successful one in terms of a particular vote, that we are aware and conscious of other people who might be struggling because of that particular decision. And how do we act as a child of God, as you said, and how do we act in this community to bring it together? And how do we be a good neighbor? And all three of you address that and brought it to mind in different ways. And to kind of bring this segment of the discussion to a close, Reverend Eric is going to offer a reflection or a prayer on neighborliness.
Thanks, Pandora. And so I want to first of all point to a surah in the Quran, from the second surah, that is related to neighborliness. And it reads this way. It is not righteous that you turn your faces to the east and west, but righteous is the one who believeth in God and the last day and the angels and the scripture and the prophets, and giveth wealth for love of him to kinsfolk and to orphans and the needy and the wayfarer and to those who ask and who set slaves free. I want to note that the Dalai Lama has said that his religion is simply compassion. I want to lift up that the Torah declares that we must love our neighbors, that Jesus proclaimed that same admonition. It's part of the Great Commandment. And note that every virtuous secular philosopher, from Plato to Kant, points us in exactly the same way. And it's there that we must rest our faith now. I invite you to join me in prayer in relation to the ways that we learn to love our neighbors. May all that is holy guide us in our every interaction, ever sowing seeds of peace in relationship, embracing shared interests based in love, ever abolishing fear of the other. So may it be, and amen.
Amen.
Tremendous, Reverend Eric. Greatly appreciate it. As we go to wind things down, I wanted to get a little input and just quickly, I think I wanted to address another point that's come up in the last week in town. We had a changing to our way we're educating the high school kids. They have stayed fully remote. There was a gathering over the weekend. I would love to hear from Steve. I'd love to hear from all four of you. Your thoughts on what the reactions to people, to the school committee, that they're letting people down, they're ruining the students' lives. I don't want to get into whether or not schools should have been shut down. Those people know much more than I do. How can we deal with or address when we hear and see these things that are just so far beyond civility? Steve, you see it a lot because of what you do. I would just from a personal standpoint, I could use help dealing with that. So, Steve, just if you could, any updates on that situation, if you happen to have them?
Well, certainly the superintendent and the high school principal made that decision in regards to the factors that they were given. Clearly, there was a party. There was underage drinking. The police came. Not everybody could be talked to. So the contact tracing piece, which would give us the better guidance around it, doesn't happen. So then it's a question of risk management. And if we assume health is first, they made the right decision. The school committee obviously is an oversight body. The true decision is in the superintendent's hands. And she did not do it alone. Clearly, she was communicating with the Board of Health, DESE, and other organizations. There are implications, but there are implications as we've talked, clearly, and everybody is in their own conversations. We got to start with health. Because business cannot recover unless we're healthy to do business and healthy to go to business. And life is tough. Nobody said life is going to be easy. But I think even this gathering here in this technology realm, you were figuring out ways with the hand signs. I mean, people can figure things out. We will get through this.
You're right. Steve, if I can figure something out, I think anybody can figure it out. I would encourage, thanks Pete, I would encourage Pandora or any three of our clergy, your input on that, on kind of what's going on locally.
Just want to chime in briefly and say that, you know, this is not a different subject than what we've been talking about all morning. And I really want to ask people to figure out how to love their neighbor best during the time of COVID. And we know that, things are really hard right now and that the opportunity to get together with people is very, very enticing. I want to ask people to take another thought before making that decision. And what does loving your neighbor ask of you right now? And I just want to also say that I feel so terrible for the high school students who have to face the consequences of this right now. I want them to be able to be safely in the hybrid model, and I feel terrible that they can't be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rabbi Tom.
You know, I'm thinking of the school administrators who really are trying their hardest. I'm thinking of the parents and the children, especially the athletes, whose, you know, seniors who are going to be missing out on some important sports things they had been counting on, and how heartbroken they must be and how upset they are. And, you know, I don't know whatever the right answers are. Should we have stopped this? Should we have not done that? People will differ. And those differences will have consequences. But I remind everyone, if civility were easy, we'd all do it. And it is work. It's real work to actually, love your neighbor as yourself, to take that person who you disagree with and think they've just ruined things and find a way to speak of them and speak to them as though they are your neighbor, they are you, they are part of you. That's extremely hard work. And I'm sympathetic for everyone who falls short of it. I fall short of it every single day, frequently. But there's a reason that those guidances are out there. And I agree with Reverend. Right. It is all what we've been talking about. It's all of a piece.
Yes. Reverend Katha, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I was reminded early in the pandemic that in some Asian cultures, people wear masks as a sign of respect for others. It's not about personal freedom or liberty or any of that. I wear my mask to protect the hospice patients that I visit and the elderly and compromised people in my congregation, friends who are immune compromised, my family, my mother who's 81. I wear my mask for those people. as well as for myself. But and I also feel for the officials who are trying to make these decisions, because I know how hard it's been to make them for our congregation. Mm. We worshiped outdoors all summer. A few weeks ago, we made the decision that we would move indoors November 1st. That's when Franklin was still green. Then it went yellow. I'm watching those numbers very carefully and trying to make responsible decisions and urging people who are compromised to stay home and join us on Zoom. So, it's really tough to find that balance where we can be a community and we can also keep each other safe. And yes, that's neighborliness.
I think, Reverend Kathy, you used, when you started off, the perfect term, respect. It's a respect for other people. It's not for yourself. You're protecting others, whether it's family members, friends, whatever it may be. I think you couldn't have said it more eloquently. And I want you all to note on your bingo card, that was my multiple syllable word for the day. So someone should have bingo by now. That is just about going to do it for our first ever live show that we've done. We do record this once a month. We do a show. You can catch that on WFPR 102.9. You can get our guide by going to franklin.tv. And you can always read a good little story that Pete Fasciano writes every week. I don't know where he gets his information and his ideas, but it's new and fresh every week. Pandora, I'll let you close up, but I just wanted to thank everybody for taking the time to be with us today, especially Steve Sherlock, who had jumped on, and we wanted to get him a part of this conversation. And Pete Fasciano, the two guys running everything, the rest of us are just showing up looking not good. That's why we're on radio. Go ahead, Pandora.
Well, we would also say thank you, Jay, because you are the veteran of all of the radio shows, and we are learning from you in this Zoom world, holding up our paper signs and waving in our individual boxes.
But we're all in trouble then, Pandora. But thank you for the kind words.
I think that our faith leaders gave us a wonderful lens this morning as we go through the next several days and into the next week as to being a good neighbor, as to putting other people first, as to respecting our fellow Franklinite as the decisions are made and the votes are counted and the results are known. And it's conversations like this that inform our thinking and help us to grow as individuals and be a better member in our Franklin community. So I thank Reverend Eric, Rabbi Tom, and Reverend Kathy for your wisdom and knowledge that you share each month with us. And I think that'll do it.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll see you soon.
Everybody, bye-bye.